It's time for our weekly catch-up with RNIB's Chief Executive Matt Stringer to hear about some more news stories coming out of the UK Sight Loss Charity. Matt, thank you for joining us once again.
Nice to meet you again.
I think we should really start on accessible information. It's something which is crucial, I suppose, at any time, but now more than ever, I suppose that's a more poignant thing.
Through the whole of the coronavirus period, having accessible information when there's such a fluid, fast-changing picture, certainly at the start, back in sort of March, April, when everyone had to adhere to sort of relatively severe guidance and the implications of that, clearly on getting access to critical things like food and medicine was vital, through, you know, public health issues about, you know, knowing the NHS is open and turning up for all types of appointments, let alone eye health appointments, which clearly we talked about previously, which has been a critical thing that we've been encouraging people to do, you know, through to the last month or two where we've had varying restrictions and lockdowns across the devolved nations and clearly regionally within countries with differences in Scotland and England, certainly. So we've had the need for people, you know, everybody to stay abreast of what is sometimes quite confusing and fast moving information. And clearly now we've got news of a vaccine as well, and quite how that's going to get rolled out and, you know, implemented is going to be critical that people understand. So, you know, accessible information is absolutely critical. And we've been pushing this boat very hard for the last 6 or 7 months, you know, with some success actually. And we've got the Cabinet Office, we've had government ministries, Public Health England, etc., are all making information accessible for blind and partially sighted people. But it's hit or miss is the problem. It never seems to move irrevocably or inexorably to a position of being sorted. So 10 charities who've come together, you know, to get our critical mass, if you like, together to agitate again. We've done a big play on that, and variety, you know, letters to government departments in the press, variety of sort of social media and multimedia appearances, you know, talking to issues as, you know, shielding letters in inaccessible formats, graphics coming without alternative text. You know, the fact that Downing Street, you know, is never used, which they have in Scotland, to be fair, you know, a sign language interpreter to be able to get across what it is that the politicians and officials are saying. So quite depressing on one level that we keep coming back to this item. I'm pleased that we've done quite a lot of progress and got it up on the radar of government and other ministries and organisations. But, you know, the fact we've had to go again with another 9 charities banding together just makes the point that it hasn't gone away and we need to keep pushing.
Still more work to do, but do you think having charities band together like this, that kind of synergy, if you like, you know, it really improves the impetus?
No, it does. I think, you know, we have traction as the RNIB, and I think I said before, you know, on this program that we've had some positive feedback from ministers and MPs, you know, Justin Thomason, who I meet regularly, a meeting in on Monday, David Amos, who's a supportive MP, you know, Marcia de Cordova as well, you know, from the Labour side of the House, talking to this point and referencing the RNIB as being someone who's been on the front foot and working very positively. And that's all good stuff. But, you know, clearly when that doesn't land, you have to do what you have to do, and banding together with other charities, you know, is a way that we can punch above our weight. You know, the whole can be greater than the sum of the parts.
Well, let's move on to awards now. Many ceremonies this year taking place virtually, of course. And RNIB's See Differently Awards are back again, hugely successful before. And we are promoting these on RNIB Connect Radio as well, looking really for people to get involved and start nominating.
Did the first See Differently Awards about a year ago. It was November last year, where we had a fabulous session, a fabulous event in London, where we were able to celebrate and honour some very strong shortlists of people in a variety of categories with a lot of our partner organisations, you know, organisations, businesses who have been helping us on a variety of fronts, and put on a fabulous show, actually. And the critical point was to honour and award a number of people in each of the, well, a person in each of the categories, about 6 award winners, it was from memory, who were brilliant, blind and partially sighted people doing fantastic things up and down the country and across the 4 nations, actually, you know, whether it be working as volunteers, whether it was being product development, whether it was being sort of role models, whether it was doing, you know, social media influencing, massive variety of very inspirational work. And we were to give us a lifetime achievement award to Mike Brace, you know, doyen of the sports world, really. So it was great to honour Mike. It was a fantastic event. It was built out of our rebranding, where See Differently is a strap line to try and get people to think differently and see differently about blind and partially sighted people. We've got a short list of awards. There are 12. We've got three categories, and the categories are Best Community Contributor. And there are 4 people in there. We've got best corporate response, because clearly we get a lot of traction and help from corporate partners, you know, from a variety of places. And we've got Aldi in there, for example, with all the work we've done on supermarkets. Amazon, who've helped us connect with technology. There's the National Theatre of Scotland in there, you know, showing how arts can be accessible. And over in Northern Ireland, a ton of work we've done on accessible information with Ulster Bank. So you can get the sort of sense of the breadth of this. And then the final category is sort of best media impact. So there's four shortlisted contenders in each of those three categories. And it will be great if people went online and vote. And we will have a suitably impressive virtual event where we present those awards to what will be worthy recipients.
Absolutely. We'll give the details a little bit later. Let's finish off, Matt, with, I suppose, some well-being. You know, lots of businesses and charities, I suppose everyone in general really needs to take care of themselves physically and mentally. And it's a big thing for NIB as well.
We've talked a lot about this, and I make no apology for sort of coming back. I think every organisation at the moment, you know, is having to think very hard about protecting and supporting its staff. And we're no different. And we've been, you know, thinking very hard through the whole 6 to 9 months of this pandemic about how we support people. And the trick is to make sure you've got some very good materials to give people that sort of underlying constant support, whilst also trying to sort of refresh, you know, the activity and energy in the organization at the moment. You know, our big thrust, as we've sort of had the clocks going back at the end of October, has been to encourage people to find a sort of working rhythm that works for them, so they can get out and away from their desk and their laptop in the daylight hours, get out of the house, get some fresh air, take some exercise, as opposed to us all rigidly working the same sort of 9 to 5 hours. And, you know, that sort of permission and encouragement has gone down sort of very well with the team. And the big initiative we've been running in November is a thing called Stepvember. Stepvember, you might have heard of Movember, with people sort of going, sort of trying to grow a moustache, but we've done Stepvember. And we've got teams of six, you know, virtual teams across different functions, you know, different types of people, in little teams of six. We've got about 25 teams, about 150 plus people participating. And it's all about taking as many steps as you can to stay healthy. And every week our team of six submits our numbers onto the scoreboard. And we have a bit of fun in the organisation with seeing where we all are, you know, with silly names for teams and all that good stuff. And I know I've had 3 days off this week, and I've been going out, walking my dog 2 long walks and going for a run. And I've been getting up to 15,000 steps a day is the most I've done in a wow. day, which is pretty good.
I'll admit to this, I was having a meeting today with one of my colleagues, just a sort of 10-15 minute meeting. But I did it while I was out walking down a country lane with a guide dog. So I had my headset and my smartphone with me, having a chat away. And do you know what? It was actually nice. There was no cars around. There was no steps to worry about. Country lane. And it was very nice. So I'm trying to find other ways of doing it.
Are you recording your steps, Alan? It's your best day so far.
My best was probably Monday, when I had just over 18,000 steps.
Well, that's pretty good gain. That's a long way. So you've done very well there. Mine's just under 15. So you're 3,000. You've set me a target, Alan. I'm going to.
I haven't continued though this week. I have to say, been a bit less this week, but we shall get there. Now, if you would like to find out more about RNIB services, or you would like to get involved in the See Differently Awards, perhaps make a nomination, then do go to rnib.org.uk. The helpline is also there for you, 0303 123 9999. Matt, we'll catch up with you again next week, and thanks for joining us once again on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you very much, Alan.